Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight. Open up to Acts chapter number 27 in the Word of God. Acts chapter number 27. That's some powerful words in that song that we just sang there. And how many believe tonight that God is always good? Would you say amen? Now, let's try that one more time. If you believe God is always good, would you say amen? We know that He's always good, although at times it's difficult to see the goodness of God. We do understand that His ways are always best, His ways are perfect, and you and I are going to learn once again about a man who, at times, I would say it would be quite difficult to sing those words that God is always good. During this passage of Scripture here in Acts chapter number 27, we've been looking at a turbulent journey. We've seen now Paul's friends and Paul's warning, and over the last several weeks, we've been here in Paul's wreck. So if you would, find Acts chapter 27. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Verse number 35 in the Word of God this evening. Acts chapter number 27. Let's look at verse number 35 tonight in the Word of God. Acts 27, verse number 35. The Bible says this, that when he had thus spoken, he took bread, talking about Paul, and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Tonight, once again, we're going to be reminded through the Word of God, taking this passage of Scripture, applying it to our hearts, that you and I also go through some turbulent journeys at times. Life is not always rainbows, butterflies, jump up in the air, click your heels, wonderful. No, there are some rainy days. There are some ups and downs. In fact, the Bible goes as far to say that it is the ebb and flow of life. There's a back and forth, the mountaintop experiences, and then there's also some valleys that you and I go through. And so tonight we're going to learn from God's Word how we are going to get through these storms together. Let's go to Him in prayer and ask Him to bless the message. Father, thank you, Lord, so much that you are always good. Savior, in a world that's upside down, Father, in a world that's very dark, we know, Savior, that we have a God in heaven that loves us, that died for us, and that we're going to see face to face. I ask, Lord, through the preaching of your word tonight, once again, that our hearts would be stirred and moved. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would be with all the kids in the different classes tonight, be with our teenagers, Lord, as they're learning more about you. I ask, Savior, that you'd give every one of them exactly what they need this evening. And Father, I ask, Lord, in a special way that you'd meet with us. Father, we've seen some great days here at Cross Point Baptist Church, but Lord, we know it's because of you. We know it's because of your blessing. We know it's because of your protection. And Father, we ask, Lord, again, that tonight you'd give us that protection. You'd give us that blessing. Father, that you'd give us that conviction and encouragement that we need from your word. Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd hide me behind the cross. And Father, what's on our hearts and our minds and coming from our mouths this evening, walking out these doors, is Jesus Christ. We lift you high. You must increase and we must decrease this evening, Savior. We love you. In your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you find your place here in Acts 27, let's look at verse number 30 and move up to verse number 35 once again. The Bible says this at verse number 30, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, if you're visiting with us this evening, there's a storm called Euroclydon that is taking place. Paul, quite a few prisoners, and many others are on this boat going through this storm that is now 2 weeks in the making. The Bible says the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. When they had let down the boat into the sea under the color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, verse number 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. We saw last week that when you and I are in the midst of a storm, when you and I are going through our own personal Euroclydon, when you and I are going through that turbulent times in our life, whether it be in finances or health or in a marriage or raising kids, or maybe just the everyday rigmarole of life, when you and I are at the bottom, when you and I are in the darkness, oftentimes a voice that we hear is the voice is just to bail, just to get out, just to quit, just to give up. You can't go on any longer. You're not going to be used. You can't do this. Oftentimes we begin to listen to this voice that's telling us, you know what, you've tried this for a long time now. It doesn't seem to be working, so why don't you give up on some of the things you've been doing for so long? And we saw last week, I'm not going to park here for very long, but I'm just going to say it again. Understand this, when you and I are going through dark times or turbulent times, or you and I are going through, well, just the everyday life, friend, if you're in a dark place or you're down or you're out, do not give up on God. You can take a vacation from a lot of other things. Take a vacation maybe from work. Take a vacation from some bad friends in your life. Take a vacation from social media. Take a vacation from Fox News or CNN. But friend, let me tell you something. The moment that you begin to take a vacation from the local church, you are not going in the right direction. You're going in the wrong direction. And the day and age that we live, isn't it amazing how many folks going through a hard time begin to miss out on Wednesday night or Sunday night, begin to skip out on Sunday school, begin to miss their devotions, begin to get down and out, and oh, woe is me, friend, put off everything else, but do not get away from God in those moments. Don't bail out of the ship. Don't get away from those who are going to help you and guide you and direct you. And isn't it amazing that these men now for 2 weeks are in this storm and they think the only thing left they have to do is to just bail from the ship. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, do not bail on your marriage. Do not bail on your children. Do not give up on your grandchildren. Do not give up on the local church. Friend, I know it's dark out there, but we have a God in heaven that we, you and I, are going to give an account to one day. And there is no time to take a vacation from the very gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't bail. Don't get away. Look with me at verse number 33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This is," check it out now, "the 14th day that ye have tarried and continue fasting, having taken nothing." 2 weeks. My goodness, what a fast. 34. "Wherefore I pray you take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall fall not an hair from your head of any of you." Verse number 35. "And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat." And last week we began to look at this verse and just kind of apply it to our own lives. That isn't it amazing that everything that Paul was going through, they have not eaten for 2 weeks. They've been in the midst of this storm. They should not have been there to begin with, because Paul warned them way back at the beginning of this chapter that we should not even be sailing into these seas. They did not listen. They listened to the captain of the ship. Now they're in a storm. They've been going through. They're sick. It's just awful. They're hanging on for dear life. Here is your food. But isn't it amazing that Paul stops in verse number 35 and in the midst of this storm begins to give thanks to God. And it's a reminder to you and I that no matter how bad life gets, no matter how turbulent our road becomes, and friend, even in the United States of America, we are going to see some turbulent times. May we never become so focused on the negative that we stop giving thanks to Almighty God. We stop thinking about all this and all the COVID and all the vaccines now and all the civil unrest and all the injustices of life and all the racism and all our country and all the president and all politics and all that. And we begin to dig this hole of, oh, woe is me and oh, woe is our country and I guess, oh, woe is our God. No, in the moment that you and I are going through a tough time, that is the very moment that you and I ought to start thinking of the positive. Start thinking of the good things of life. I love what Paul says, and I believe it is, let me look at the word, Philippians 4. It says, "Finally, brethren," check this out, "whatsoever things are true," and it's not going to come on the news, "whatsoever things are honest," not going to get it in politics, "whatsoever things are just," you're not going to find it in our system, "whatsoever things are pure," you're not going to get that in Hollywood, "whatsoever things are lovely," "whatsoever things are of a good report," "if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, Think on these things. And if it's an ever reminder, if there ever was a reminder for you and I that we have got to turn off the news, turn off social media, get our nose in the Word of God and start concentrating on the positive, that reminder is today. Friend, all of us have something to be thankful for. Do we not? No, I mean everybody. Well, we all do. Pastor Defoe, name one thing that you're thankful for tonight. Just one. Your wife. That's a good one. Amen. Now, no copycats. Pastor, what about you?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. It's a good one. Brother?
My family.
Family. Amen. Mama, you awake? Go for it. One thing you're thankful for.
Being saved.
Boy, they're taking all the good ones, Miss Anita. Church. Amen. Amen. Carrie? And? Yeah. Parker there, brother. Amen. Good preaching. Understand, we all have something that we can be thankful for. Here's Paul, the storm. Oh, the sickness. Oh, it's over. It's off. No. Hey, guys, you need this for your health before you eat. You got to be kidding me. Let's give thanks. You're going to counsel some people sometimes that are in a deep, dark depression, discouragement. Get them thinking on the positive. Get them thinking on the future. Paul said, I press toward the mark. This preacher never once said, I'm thankful for our forefathers, and I'm thankful for those who have gone before us, and I'm thankful for the fundamental ranks that have laid down and paved the path for me to be in the pulpit where I am today. But friend, I'm just here to tell you, I don't want to be living my life in the past and the days we used to have, and the buses we used to run, the hymns we used to sing, and the revival services we used to have. I'm just telling you something, friend. Those are good and great, and I'm thankful for them. But friend, we must press toward the mark. That means this: move on. That America, those days, they may never be passed or never come to pass again. But we can't wallow in the mud. No, we've got to just say, God is still seated on the throne. Let's move on for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's move forward. Look with me here at verse number 36 and watch what the Bible says. Verse number 36. Then were they all of good cheer. How? Well, they gave thanks. And they took some meat. And they were all in the ship, 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat, all the food, into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not land, but discovered a certain creek with a shore, into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. It's looking better now. Hey, this is kind of like a flow of the water. It looks like this is going to be okay. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves under the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. Here's what we're going to do. We'll just let it all fly. Here we go. Pull up the anchor, boys. Everybody hold on. We're heading toward shore. Verse number 41. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast. Now they're stuck. It stopped. They can see land, but they're not there quite yet. Now watch very carefully. Forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. Now they don't have a ship. The ship is literally breaking apart. It's got to be fearful. Verse number 42. And here's the soldiers' council. You ready? Here's what they said. And the soldiers' council was, like things couldn't get worse, to kill the prisoners. Mm-hmm. Guess who's a prisoner? Yeah, Paul's a prisoner. Lest any of them should swim out and escape. Verse number 43. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. What was their purpose? Just kill them all. And commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all, watch the wording here, safe to land. They made it. Now, before we get to praise the Lord, they made it, let me just put it like this. In verse number 43, the Bible says this, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves in first. We can see the land. The ship is stuck. It's not going anywhere. And the ship now is breaking apart. The waves have hit it. It's crumbling. We can see land, but we're not there yet. So, look, we're not going to kill the prisoners, but if you can swim, jump in first. Now, they've gone 14 days. They've just now eaten. Obviously, Paul's given some food, some little bit of energy here, but they're going to be very weak. But if you can swim, go ahead. God's already promised you're going to be okay. You just jump in and you start swimming. So they begin to swim. Then the Bible says this, verse number 44. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. So it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Now watch very carefully. Everyone made it safe to land. All of them. There's not one soul that perished. But how did they get to land? Well, the Bible's very specific. There were some that swam. You can go, you swim first, you go ahead and get there. They made it to land. Okay, then some, others on broken pieces of the ship. It's broken up. This looks good. I call this barrel. I call this piece of wood. I call this, oh, this split in half. Oh, this is, okay, so they're going to get on. And then the Bible says this, some were on boards. Who knows if it just, the Bible says it broken apart, so maybe they're going back there and just grabbing it. We're just going to surf on in. We're just going to find and try to ride the wave in to shore. And so everybody's getting on their boards. Everybody's getting on broken pieces. And then there are some that jumped in first that are already making their way. But all of them made it safely there. Now watch very carefully. Understand this, that there's great application for you and I. That although the goal was the same, what was the goal? The goal was to get safely to land. There were many men on board, over 200, and all of them took different ways, different pieces. But God got them there safely. Friend, tune in for just a moment. Don't worry how everybody else is getting there. You and I have enough to worry about with what God has given us. You and I have a job to do. Let's get it done. You see, many times in this day and age, there are so many that are worried. I'm not talking about salvation. Don't take it out of context tonight. I'm talking about everybody's worried about how everybody else is doing ministry, doing life, raising kids, having a marriage. Friend, understand, watch now. You and I cannot be worried about everybody else. God has given us a task to do. And when we concentrate on the talents and the gifts that God has given us, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. We're going to use the talents and the gifts that God has given us for what? For His purpose of getting there safely. In the day and age that you and I live, isn't it amazing how often we're worried about, well, I think I'd make it safely to shore, but I don't have a board like them. You know, if I had a board like them, I could have made it there a lot faster. Well, how come, you know, they get to go first? How come they get to go first? They can swim. Shouldn't we be going first? Who cares? I don't know why they said you go first. The Bible doesn't say why those who can swim can go first. Maybe so they could get out of the way and they wouldn't be jumping in with all these other guys, you know, that can't swim and hanging on and kicking their feet and the waves tossing. I have no idea. All I know is that God said, you're all going to get there safely. Use what I gave you and get there. And friend, may you and I apply it to our hearts tonight that we all have gifts. We all have talents. We have different stages of life in here. We've got all different types of family backgrounds and family trees. You and I have got to quit comparing ourselves to everyone else and just get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. I don't have gifts like everybody else. I can't sing like Pastor Chris. I can't play the piano like Miss Becky or the organ like Susan. Or I probably can't even guard this place like our spear team. I don't have talents that they have. So what am I going to do? Well, it's not fair, Pastor Defoe. How come they were blessed? And how come they get away with? And how come they? No. God's given me gifts, and I just use my gifts, and I got to move on for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a storm raging right now. I don't know if y'all have noticed. But Hollywood's not really for us. And the lost world's not really cheering the Christians on. Ooh, ooh, woo! Go, Christians, go. Whoa, we love you. Nope, they hate us. There's a storm raging all around us. And we're concentrating on everybody else. Well, the church down the street. Well, the Harvey family. Well, I can't believe Pastor Floyd, Miss Kelly, they... See, do we not have enough to worry about in the storm to get where we need to be going? And that is this. We're going to be in heaven one day. We're going to give an account for ourselves. I don't give an account for Brother Havia. I don't give an account for Josh and Gloria. I don't give an account. You and I, Brother Hawkins, we give an account for ourselves and our families. If God's allowed you to swim, then swim. If God's given you a board, then take the board and do it. If God's given you a broken piece of the ship, quit comparing it to everyone else's broken piece of the ship. And you and I work together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because while you and I are concentrating on what everybody else is doing, and I can't believe this, and boys, you read about this, and well, so-and-so, and I'm just telling you, a bunch of little girls, I can't say it like that, a bunch of little kids on Twitter fighting these little worship wars and worrying about everybody else. Meanwhile, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not going out. There are souls that are drowning all around us and going to spend an eternity in hell, and we're sitting back worried about how come I didn't get and wish I was blessed like that. Wish I could go on a vacation. Wish my board. Wish I could swim. How come I can't swim? Friend, I'm just here to tell you tonight, when you look at the Word of God, He said, I'm going to get you there safely. And when you rely on the word of God, friend, take it to the bank. God's Word is always going to win. It's always going to be true. When we start doubting this Word, we are in big trouble, friend. Somebody help me out. Amen. Gentlemen, when we start adding or subtracting to this, we're messing with something that is perfect, friend. You will never catch this pastor saying, well, what the Lord really meant to say here. Friend, I'm not God. And God wrote this word. And I believe that this word is perfect and inspired and inerrant and it's preserved for you and I today. Therefore, if you and I are going to have an authority, may our authority be on what thus saith the Lord. Why? Because God told Paul, there's not a hair going to fall from any of their heads. They're all going to get there safely. But you must do it exactly as I say. Some of the men say, well, I don't know. I don't know if we can really trust this, Paul. Let's get in a boat and let's cut the ropes. Let's try to go in. Paul says, you're not going to make it if you do it this way. Friend, listen, when you and I start adding to salvation, when you and I start doubting the virgin birth, when you and I start questioning whether God's really going to come back or not, friend, I'm here to tell you, we are in dangerous waters. Listen to what the Word of God says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Romans says it this way, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience of the comfort of Scriptures, we might have hope. Isaiah said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Don't tune out. Romans put this way. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jeremiah says, it is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces. Matthew says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Hebrews says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow of the discerner and thoughts and intents of the heart. Jeremiah 15, the words were found and I did eat them, and the word was unto me joy and rejoicing in my heart, for I called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. The psalmist said, thy word, thy law, O Lord, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Listen to this. You may be in a wreck. You may be in a mess. But friend, stop listening to everybody else. Stop getting advice from everybody else. Quit ignoring God. Get back to the Word of God. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, you can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. A friend, take it to the bank. The Word of God is always right. Always right. So why do we doubt it? Here's Paul. Gentlemen, probably shouldn't be in the storm. Probably shouldn't say, we're going to get a storm. Storm comes. Gentlemen, God came to me in a dream. I don't know if you remember, but I kind of told you not to sail in the storm. But we did anyways. That's okay. God's going to get us through. We see land. Kill Paul. What in the world? I'll tell you what. Storms will cloud our judgment. But the Word of God makes it very clear. Very clear. It's the end of that chapter. Are we done tonight? No, let's keep going. Look at chapter number 28 and look at verse number 1. Watch very carefully. I want us to look for just a moment tonight. This last point here, Paul's blueprint. Verse number 1 says this. The story continues. And when they were escaped, everybody made it. Then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. They were super nice. For they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. Now, because Malta was inhabited by mostly Phoenician settlers, their language would have been of a Phoenician dialect. They're now here on this island. And in Paul's day, this was ruled under the jurisdiction of Sicily. It's under Roman law here. It would have been under them. So it's amazing that here's all these prisoners, here's these centurions, here's these captains and everybody who works on the ship. They all get to land and it is a mess. The ship's way out there is broken up. The storm is still coming. And yet here are these people who came to give help to them. And to be honest with you, they really did not have to help. Did they? You ever thought and think about that? It's not that this is everybody's laying out on the beach. And here they are drinking from coconuts, like, wow, where's all these people coming from? Everybody's like swimming up here. It's something weird. It's still a storm going on. It's still crying. It's thundering. It's lightning. Verse number 1 says it's very cold. They're going to get a fire going for them. And here's these people who reached out to help. Did they have to come out of their huts or houses? They did not have to, but they did. You say, Pastor, what does that have to do with us? Here's what it has to do with us. We all live very busy lives, but there are those around us who are going through a storm. And if you and I would get our face out of social media for a little bit, or out of our own little world, out of our own little bubble, out of the world revolves around me, and start looking around, we would understand and comprehend very quickly that there are those who are going in a storm, those who are sinking, those who are out of gas, those who are just struggling. And you and I, listen, ought to be like the people in verse number 1 and reach out and help, friend. Reach out and help. Oh, Pastor, that's good. That's good. But to be honest, don't we have deacons here at Cross Point Baptist Church? I mean, like Acts chapter, you know, and chapter 6, kind of full of them. Isn't that their job? Oh, yeah. That's right. I guess you just sit back, relax. I mean, don't we have Sunday school teachers? Isn't that their job, kind of reach out and help? And don't we have some of those who, you know, kind of retirees? And no, friend. The Bible puts it like this. But love your enemies and do good and lend a helping, watch, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. That means this. You and I are commanded in the Word of God, not just in Luke, but also in the book of Ephesians and throughout the Word of God, even in John, that you and I are to reach out, give a lending hand, help. That means this, friend. They didn't have to. They didn't have to stop. They didn't have to lend a hand. They didn't have to get a fire started, but they did anyways. And I'm just going to put it this way. Friend, God forbid at Cross Point Baptist Church, we ever become just such a, I don't want to use the word family because you might take it out of context, but I don't ever want to come to the place where it's just the same old, we just all meet and we all just get fat on the Word of God and we just head out, we do our own little thing, we come back and meet again. Oh yeah, I forgot about you. Oh yeah, hey, good to see you again. No, friend, you and I ought to be such a church, such a hospital that those that are walking in that back door, it's not rushing rush in, rush out, get done, hurry up. We got to get home. Jeopardy's coming on, or Wheel of Fortune, whatever your tune is. We got to get back. We got to hurry. Restaurant's going to be open. Fast, fast, quick, quick. No, you and I ought to be invested, involved in each other. Friend, if somebody's hurting, it's not just Pastor Dan's job to reach out. It ought to be up to all of us to share love and to show love and to reach out and to lend a helping hand. Ready for this? Even when we don't have to. They didn't have to help. But they did. They didn't have to stop. They did. Look at verse number 3 with me and watch what the Word of God says here. Verse number 3 says this. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them down on the fire, there came out a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. I mean, you not just kind of chuckle? Like, have you ever known somebody in life that just, you look at their Facebook, you just think, that person really has the worst luck in the world. Nothing ever goes their way. Like, their car's always broken down. They're always having trouble with relationships. Finances never work. They're always in a storm. It's always woman. Look, I'm not picking on anybody in here. I'm just saying, I think we've all kind of known somebody that's like a really bad country song. You know, just everything's down depressing. It's just awful. You just, man, this is bad. I feel like reading this last two chapters is kind of Paul. Like, seriously, nobody listen to you, and then they want to kill you. Then it's 2 weeks in a storm. Then it's basically swim for your life. You get there. Oh, thank you. We get a reprieve. Let's gather some sticks and put them on the fire. Oh, does that fire. It's been 14 days. Look how much wrinkles I got. Man, my feet. This looks awful. Man, it's just, this fire feels so good. This stinking snake comes out. Everybody looks around like, dude, you just stay away from me. Just get away. Go on. Go on the other side of the fire, friend. You ever ask God why? Why? In probably one of the darkest seasons of Carrie and I's life in ministry, major building project, just God just working miraculously, but the headaches of a growing church and raising two kids at that time and some health conditions and just, you ever felt like the weight of the world's on you? And it was at that moment, Carrie, that Carrie goes in for a 12-week checkup, which would have been our second child, if I'm not mistaken. And sitting there all by her self. The doctor says they no longer hear a heartbeat. Carrie walks out into the waiting room and has to sit by herself beside a 14-year-old that's bawling her eyes out because she's pregnant. And yet God took our little baby away. You ever just sit back and say, God, why? Why, Lord? I think Paul right about now probably was in that point of his storm that he began to wonder. I just spent 2 years in prison. I did not get a fair trial. I get on a boat. We get in a storm. We barely make it to land. I finally get some rest. Now I'm going to die from a snake. See, Christian, when you dive into the Word of God, just becomes so real, so alive. And In those moments, Christian, it's time to start asking, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Lord, what is it in this storm that you want me to learn? The psalmist wrote, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. It's good for me. How? Why? That I might learn thy statutes. It's good for me that I've gone through this storm, Lord. Why? You're teaching me something. Help me to learn it. In a storm like this, when nothing's going right, it's the time to ask, Lord, is there something in my life? Is there something that needs to get out? Oh, we're good at judging everybody else's life. We're good at judging everybody else's board, piece of the ship. We're good at comparing, but in a storm like this, what if we stop and just say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Lord, what do I need to get out of my life? Paul doesn't seem like it could really get any worse, but verse number 4 comes and doesn't get much better. Say, Pastor, this is the most awful message you've ever preached. Just wait. I know what time it is. Don't stress me out. I'm going to be on vacation next week. I get a little overtime tonight. So you just hang on for just a moment. Verse number 4, look at it. And when the barbarians, those who were helping, saw the venomous beast hang on his hand. It just bite him. He's lifting it up in the air. Hey, guys, I have a snake on me. Dude, this just isn't good. They said among themselves, yep, no doubt this man is a murderer. Whom though he escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Immediately after Paul is bitten, here's what they say about him. Yeah, he's a murderer. Oh yeah, there's no doubt. He escaped. He is a murderer. He's branded immediately hitting the shore. Yep, this is who he is. Not maybe. No, he's definitely. This is definitely. My goodness, this guy is no doubt he's a murderer. Understand this. It's not unusual for God's servants to be branded unfairly. In fact, historians tell us that D.L. Moody was called many times in many towns Crazy Moody. Billy Sunday was accused of only preaching for, check it out, money. Charles Stanley, in his book, The Source of My Strength, wrote, and I quote, I was struck in the face by a man yelling and cursing about my leadership at a church meeting. At 84 years of age, W.A. Criswell had a formal staff member refer to him as a one-time mentor, but then said he was now a power-hungry tyrant at 84 years of age. The Bible says this, yea, and all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Understand, he's branded right away. And I don't have time this evening to get into this, but let me just put it this way, friend. Listen very carefully now. Be careful that you and I do not judge too quickly. I don't want to talk about the lost world. I'm talking about as Christians. Be careful about judging too quickly. Well, I knew it. Oh, so-and-so, here's what I heard. Well, who'd you hear from? Well, my brother's sister's girlfriend's brother's aunt's cousin's grandmother who's been in the grave for 10 years. They told me, and it's a pretty good source. And so I'm just going to what? Brand them as, you have no idea what you're talking about. They had no idea what they're talking about. They didn't know him. They didn't know his story. They didn't know where he's from. And guess what? He was not a murderer. Well, what about Stephen? They didn't know that story. Well, what about the Christians? Well, let me just put it this way. You and I had better be very careful about insinuating about someone's marriage or someone's testimony or someone's walk with God. Because, friend, I'm here to tell you, you can brand somebody not knowing the whole story and hurt that person's testimony for the rest of their days here on this earth. Well, God knows the truth. Yes, He does. And one day it will come out. But friend, as Christians, there are always, listen to this very carefully. Old preacher told me this, and man, has it been good. Ready for this? There are always two sides to every story. Every teacher in here knows There's always two sides to every story. Little Johnny comes home. My teacher said they did this, and I can't believe it. Well, Johnny, did you? Nope. I was just good as gold. I was just sitting there, and they just picked on me. I can't believe it. Parent walks in there. Teacher, I can't believe it. How could you? What happened? You branded too quickly. What happens? Well, actually, little Johnny hit Susie, and Susie fell back and busted her head. They took her to the hospital. Johnny, you didn't tell me that. Husbands, wives, there's always two sides to every story. Be careful. Be careful, friend, about jumping on and talking about someone that we don't know the whole story. Gossip destroys families and churches and marriages. Excuse me. Gossip destroys teenagers. Some teenagers never recover from an adult talking about them. Ever. Now, we're going to end on a high note. Look at verse number 5. Some people have asked me, Pastor, what is your life verse? It is right here. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Amen. Can't we just hang it up right there? A snake burning up in the fire, dead, gone. Call PETA, I don't care. A dead snake is a good snake. It should be the only snake. It's my life verse. I love it. It's Bible. It's good. Snakes are evil. Somebody help me out with an amen. You like snakes? We'll cast the demons out of you after church service tonight. Look at this. Verse number 6. Howbeit they looked, and he should have been swollen. It's a snake. Or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they looked a great while, they're all watching, and saw no harm was coming to him. They changed their minds and said, check it out, real wording, he was a god. My word. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Oh yeah, he's a murderer. Let's watch him. He's going to fall over any minute. I bet it'll be 2 minutes. I bet it'll be 3. Everybody throw your bets in. Here he goes. 10 minutes past, 20 minutes past, a long while. How long's a long while? I have no idea, but it's Bible. They watch. Doesn't fall over. He's healed. He's good to go. He's still warming his hands. He's gathering more sticks. Well, he's not a murderer. We mistake. We got it all wrong. He's a god. Wow. Friend, the lost world has no idea what they're talking about. See, Paul left us a blueprint here how to shake off the snake, shake off adversity. Now watch, I know it's 8:02, but don't shut your Bibles just yet. Just watch, just watch. When you're in a storm, going through a tough time, here's how we shake it off. First of all, trust God's word. Remember, Paul said, I believe God. Paul said, and he saith unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. How do we follow Paul's blueprint? Watch now very carefully. Trust God. We understand that. But number two, you know, trust people. Trust people. Christian, God's going to send people in your life at the exact time, at the exact moment that you need it. And it's going to be from somebody that you would never expect it. A barbarian? Helping us? No, thank you. Could have been them. Storm's blowing. We barely made it. We get to shore. Here comes the barbarians. Oh, no, thank you. We're Romans. We got this under control. I've been a Christian much longer than you. Thank you very much, but I think we're going to be just fine. You say, as silly as that sounds, let me tell you something, Christian. Many times in a storm, God's going to send somebody to you for help or advice or just to strengthen you. And friend, in that moment, don't act too good or I'm up here or why should I take advice from you? In that moment, friend, may you and I trust who God has put into our life. And let me put it this way, friend. At times when God sends somebody into our life, at that moment, listen. Listen to advice. I feel like as Christians, we're like all the Democrats and Republicans. Let's get on the news channel and just yell. And whoever talks the loudest and the longest and is most like, whoever's the loudest, that's what's going to be. Now, friend, stop. Let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Trust the people that God's put in your life. Lean on them. Listen. Take some advice. Make a friendship. Watch this. Number three, serve. When you're in a storm, get into church and serve. Here is Paul. He did what's right. He's going to be a hero amongst 200 plus people that are there. I mean, he really is. To be honest with you, look, I'm running out of time. This is so good. I just got to keep going. Listen, it's so amazing that Paul at this moment, he really would have been the man. Shouldn't sail in the storm, but you're going to be okay. Here's your food. Let's bless it. We all have joy. If you cut the ship, you're not going to make it. Oh, fine, we'll stay on. They get there. They get off. Everybody's going to be fine. I can't swim. Are you kidding me? You'll be fine. Grab a board. Jump out. Everybody go first. Boom. They all get there. Not one soul is lost. Everybody's accounted for. Guess who's going to be a hero? Paul. But what do we find Paul doing? He's working. He's gathering sticks. If we look at the world around us, you know what we want to do? Oh, I can't believe it. Our country's never going to be the same. Oh, the revival's never going to be the same. We can't door knock anymore. Oh, it's just awful out there. Somebody serve me. So can somebody get some sticks and somebody just be nice to me? I just need to... No. You in a storm? Get up. Look to the God who saved you and the God who will get you out of this storm. Rely on Him and get back to work. Grab some tracts on your way out. Win somebody to the Lord. Get back in the nursery. Soon get back in the choir. Lift that hymn book and sing with all your might. It's not time to have a pity party. It's time to serve. Trust God. Trust people. Serve. But watch this. Keep going. Shake it off. That's what Paul did. What did Paul do? Well, Paul just said here, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to shake off the beast into the fire. You know what's wrong with us so many times? Do we not care how many Christians do we see? They just give it up. That's it. Oh, storm. Oh, I haven't eaten 14 days. Oh, woe is me. My marriage is over. My kids did this. I can't believe the teacher gave me that grade. I can't believe our bills. I can't believe. Oh, a snake bit me. That's it. Even so, Lord, quickly come. It's over. Nope. Here's Paul. Oh, man. Look at this storm. Can't we just came to this storm? Look at this snake. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's kind of pretty, wouldn't you say? Oh, man. Yeah. Watch him. He's going to die. The murderer. He's a murderer. I'm sure Paul heard it. Nah. Shook it off and just kept going. Amen. Is the White House doing everything we want them to do? No. Shake it off. Let's keep going. Did we sing the hymn you wanted to sing tonight? Probably not. Shake it off. Let's keep going. Well, did pastor preach the message tonight? Maybe not. Shake it off. Let's keep going. Well, somebody said, so-and-so said, and they said, and that affects me and my family. Yeah, what a bummer. Shake it off and let's keep going. Well, the doctor said and it's staged, whatever, and it's just, I'm just here to tell you, friend, there's a lot of people in this room that shouldn't be alive tonight. They're still alive. Why? They shook it off and just kept going, friend. And it's time at Cross Point. We stop looking at this dark world and this and those snake bites and all this now. Oh, Pastor Foe, I just don't know. Can't we just go back to the Andy Griffith days? And it's just, nope, we can't. I told you that 1,000 times. You're getting tired of it, I know, but let's just shake it off. As a church, shake it off. There's too many people in this area that need the gospel for us to sit and wallow in the snake bite. Ah, that's a bummer. Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Shake it off. But I kind of like it. I want to play with it. I want people to feel sorry for me, so I'm going to walk around with it. Nah, needs to go in the fire. Shake it off. Because when it's in the fire, you can't think about it anymore. You can't play with it anymore. You can't use it as a crutch anymore. Somebody help me out. Amen? See how the Bible comes alive? There's some in here with bitterness, shake it off. Some sin, shake it off. Some looking back, oh, the days of, shake it off. And let's use the blueprint that Paul gave us And let's just keep going till we reach the end and hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."